And welcome into a new episode of American Ag Today, produced by the American Ag Radio Network. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Thanks for joining us here today. Well, dozens of farm groups oppose giving up higher reference prices or crop subsidy triggers in exchange for a GOP-proposed boost in crop insurance supports in a new farm bill. It's just not palatable, the groups argue, given the high cost of farming and falling commodity prices and incomes. National Corn Growers First Vice President Kenneth Hartman of Waterloo, Illinois.
We've had input costs go up. Corn prices have went down. I mean, we got a three in the number of a lot of corn in rural America.
Stressing the need for more affordable crop insurance, but not at the expense of ARC and PLC reference prices, here's North Dakota Farmers Union President Mark Watney.
We're not willing to change, which you probably would have expected us to say. But let's think about it. There's no inflationary thing being built into reference prices. And we're with higher costs, no different than anybody else trying to buy stuff. The costs are up. And we're below the cost of production or reference prices.
A need driven home by top Senate Ag Republican John Bozeman of Arkansas.
ARC and PLC and crop insurance are different. Crop insurance works well when prices are up and your yields are low. PLC is much better, you know, with lower price. The 2018 farm bill was built on 2012 data. It's a totally different world.
But Ag Chair Democrat Debbie Stabenow of Michigan says she won't give up SNAP dollars to help fund higher reference prices and would rather shift ARC and PLC dollars to crop insurance with its quicker payouts for over 130 crops. Well, 2023 was a rough year for U.S. pork producers. During a recent press conference, National Pork Producers Council CEO Brian Humphreys had more optimism for the rest of 2024.
And I think there's some opportunity for optimism as we look at 2024. And part of that is with an increase in domestic consumption. The other part of it is with a reduced input cost. One of the things that's worth noting, though, for the American pork producer is that there are some fixed expenses. When we talk about interest, we talk about labor, we talk about capital improvements that are up almost 20%. And when you add that into the baseline of pork production, you have some significant challenges in being cost competitive. And so we look forward to a profitable year for our industry in 24, recognizing the headwinds that we ran into in late 22 and all of 23.
Almost 100 pork producers took part in the NPPC's annual fly-in to Washington, D.C. NPPC President Lori Stevermer says they have several topics to discuss with lawmakers. One of the biggest concerns is an adequate labor supply.
I think there are, as we alluded to, a number of issues. I mean, with Prop 12 still on individuals' minds, I will say labor is becoming a big concern with a lot of our farms. It's probably the one topic that I'm starting to get more questions on, more comments from our farms, whether it's the TNs or H2As, but just really a concern about that ability for our farms to have labor long term.
Rob Brenneman is an Iowa pork producer who's dealing with the struggle to find enough labor to run his farm.
Washington County, Iowa is a very employed county. It's hard to get labor locally. With the TN program, something has changed in that program. It's not as easy to get TNs as we had, and so we need to address that issue because labor is a big deal to us. And when you look at Prop 12, for example, which we have a large Prop 12 farm, that definitely requires a little more labor, and it also requires a little more use of technology to help us to be more productive in that situation. The two go together because Prop 12 takes more labor also.
Speaking of Prop 12, NPPC is looking for a bipartisan solution to the challenge in Congress.
While there's some obviously things like the ETAC that are on the table, this really needs to be a bipartisan solution and to work through and recognize that there's some balance that we have to have here, and we understand that. But as we look forward, our goal and the direction that we have from our board and our producers is to ensure that there is not a patchwork of 50 different regulations from across the country, to ensure that we can provide stability to our producers to do what's right for their farms and for their animals and make sure that they can raise those animals in the best way that they know how on their farms. There's a lot of options that this could take. That's why we continue to meet with both the House and the Senate, with Republicans and Democrats, because we're trying to navigate and find a bipartisan solution as we move forward here.
And again, that's Brian Humphreys of the National Pork Producers Council. Well, a highly pathogenic avian influenza outbreak in dairy cattle herds is making news headlines and causing concern among consumers. Adam Brock is the administrator of the Division of Food and Recreational Safety for the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture. He says consumers need to know that the U.S. milk supply is safe.
Yeah, that's correct. There is a very low risk of anybody contracting avian influenza from their milk supply. There's procedures and hurdles in place. And as always, pasteurized milk you get from your local Quick Trip or wherever you're going, that's all going to be pasteurized. Your cheese is all taken care of. Plenty of food safety hurdles, so milk is not a concern. I would not be concerned drinking milk. In fact, I had some this morning.
The pasteurization process takes all kinds of bugs out of the milk supply.
Exactly. I mean, pasteurization inhibits and it reduces the growth of bacteria. You know, it takes care of pathogens, viruses, and different things. So as long as you're drinking pasteurized milk, eating pasteurized cheese, which is only available on the market, you're in good shape. So 99% of consumers, to be transparent, there are some raw cheese makers in the U.S., right, and some in Wisconsin, but right now, not a concern. You know, I know we're talking milk safety, but for those of you that eat your eggs and your meat, it's also safe.
Again, that's Adam Brock from the Wisconsin Ag Department. Springtime brings stormy weather, which can turn severe. Jeremiah Fairbanks, service manager at Morton Building, says farmers can prepare for the risk of weather damage to their buildings.
When it comes to damage, high winds and hail are the most damaging spring weather events that we see. Damage can range from minor cosmetic issues such as dents or broken windows to major structural problems that result from impact that can also end in leaks, broken trusses, or broken columns.
Following a severe storm, Fairbanks says farmers need to inspect their property for damage, but do so with safety in mind.
If the damage is too severe, do not enter the building. Don't climb on the roof. Consult a professional. If there's any doubt, don't get around the building. Walk around the buildings to assess the damage. Documentation is key. You want to make sure that you can differentiate from one storm to the next storm, so taking good pictures is a great practice. Look first to serious structural damage that might make the building vulnerable. Then next, go to leaks. Look for anything that may damage what's stored inside. And finally, look for cosmetic issues.
He offers some important insurance recommendations both before and after a storm.
It's always important to know your coverage before a storm, what type of damage is covered, what the dollar amounts are. Prior to a storm, periodically check with your insurance agent to make sure your coverage has kept up with the valuation cycles over the years as materials and building costs increased.
And Fairbanks also emphasizes consulting a professional when you have damage.
Once a storm happens, make sure you consult a professional that has extensive experience with building repairs to help you develop the scope of what needs fixed. Find a builder that's familiar with post frame or barn construction. After a storm, it's always a good practice to have your builder and your insurance adjuster on site at the same time if possible, so they can work out a scope and a cost of repairs together. Because there may be differences of perspectives, but on site together, they can collaborate to get the best plan of attack for correcting the building issues.
For more information about storm repairs for post frame buildings, you can visit mortonbuildings.com. Well, that is all the time we have for this episode of American Ag Today, produced by the American Ag Radio Network. Thanks for joining us. I'm Jesse Allen. Have a great rest of your day.